are listening to the Star Lores Podcast.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Why, you stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
But I was going into Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
There are few legendary people that could be considered the most cruel, psychopathic villains in the galaxy. While Anakin Skywalker struggled with the dark side, and his love for Padme, and even the Lord of the Sith, Emperor Palpatine, showed emotional fits of rage, hysteria, and madness, Wilhuff Tarkin was a cold, calculated killer of planets with no remorse. His presence was the embodiment of the Emperor's might, and even Lord Vader acknowledged the authority Tarkin held. Among the Galactic Fleet and the Empire itself, Tarkin, the Emperor, and Darth Vader were unofficially considered the unholy trinity that ruled the galaxy. Where the Emperor willed, Lord Vader enforced, and Grand Moff Tarkin executed with the legions of Star Destroyers and the ultimate weapon. The Death Star was able to destroy an entire planet, effectively voiding billions of lives in an instant. However, even with such a superweapon primed for destruction, Tarkin believed that the mere presence of total annihilation would render the galaxy into submission. It was his doctrine, the Doctrine of Terror, that developed the Galactic Empire as it was. Ironically, it was the same weapon that became his undoing, and the death of one of the greatest psychopaths in the galaxy.
Early life and career. Wilhuff Tarkin came from the planet of Iriadu in the Outer Rim, a polluted industrial world that had once been earmarked for an ascent to rival even Coruscant itself. The son of a powerful and prestigious family, heavily involved in all aspects of the planet's spheres of influence, from arts to politics and the military and the sciences, they were the most powerful of five families that ruled Iriadu, known as the Quintad, and maintained a bitter rivalry with the core world family of House Valorum, some of whose members resided on the planet. His uncle, Ranulf Tarkin, had become a hero of the Republic on his death during the Stark Hyperspace War, inspiring young Wilhuff and his brother, Gideon, to enroll in the military academy. The Tarkin family was indeed powerful and maintained hegemonic control of the sector. However, being an Outer Rim family, they had always lacked the respect that more prestigious world core worlders were known for. A polymath driven to excel and live up to his family name, and have it respected the galaxy over, Tarkin was a talented and successful student. From military strategy to starship design, Tarkin's accolades mounted. He had scientific breakthroughs in the fields of xenobiology and was a talented poet and philosopher. During his education, Tarkin learned that the Republic was a decaying, failing institution, and began envisioning a new, militaristic, authoritarian, and humanocentric future for the galaxy to maintain order. With his new purpose, he determined to rise through the ranks of power and gain influence to achieve his vision. After graduation from the academy, Wilhuff and his brother joined the Republic Outland Regional Security Force, dedicated to keeping the region secure from pirates. He quickly ascended the ranks and found himself visiting Coruscant, where he had met and become friends with Wraith Sinar, the the future architect of the Death Star. Tarkin would retire from his career to pursue politics and became Lieutenant Governor of Eriadu and was introduced to the Nabooan Senator Palpatine, who further offered promise of political ascent. Tarkin became publicly notable for his militarism, much like his deceased uncle Ranoff, who had long advocated for the return of a Central Republic military and rearmament. He would be manipulated by Palpatine, like so many others, in a variety of schemes to increase his subtle control over the galaxy. Tarkin was complicit in schemes from simple mergers of resource extraction and mining corporations to the assassination of Trade Federation leadership to place the Neimodians in control while using a known terrorist group known as the Nebula Front. After the engineered scandals that saw the fall of Valorum's government and the election of Palpatine as the new chancellor, Palpatine would recommission Tarkin as an officer of the Republic, where he would join a growing faction of ideologues who called themselves the New Order, whose foundational principle would be the bedrock of the Empire in the near future. Further to this, Chancellor Palpatine assigned Tarkin in a specific mission. He was to spy on and limit the influence of the Jedi as much as possible. To this end, Wilhuff managed to embed a droid in the temple, which would wander the halls recording and forwarding information, conversations, and anything it could pick up and submit to him. The Clone Wars.
When the Clone Wars broke out, the Tarkin family was well in control of their homeworld and the Siswana sector. Wilhuff remained governor, with his brother Gideon Minister of Security, and his relative Shayla Page Tarkin representing Eriadu as a senator. The sector remained staunchly within the Republic's control, even as some separatist voices began to make themselves known, and the total succession of the neighboring Sluas sector. Wilhuff and Gideon were brought into the Republic's newly christened navy and led Republic fleets against the Separatists in their region of the galaxy. Tarkin would work closely with Jedi commanders as a member of the navy, most notably Jedi Master Luminara Unduli and even Piel. Despite his military successes, Tarkin found himself taken prisoner alongside Master Piel and a group of clone officers and taken to the Separatist prison fortress called the Citadel. He would be personally rescued by a strike team of clones and Jedi Master Kenobi, Knight Anakin, and Padawan Ahsoka. Tarkin did not think highly of the Jedi as war leaders. He thought them too soft and ideologically restricted to get the job of warfare done with the ruthlessness and efficiency required of a commander. During the escape, he had shared some of his opinions with his rescuers and was impressed to find some common ground with the brash Jedi Knight Anakin, who agreed with some of Tarkin's beliefs. The two would hold each other in mutual respect, something Tarkin had not reserved for any other Jedi. Tarkin would rise to the rank of Admiral within the Republic Navy, and after his many experiences with the Jedi, would continually advocate for their phasing out of military leadership and operations. This would create an ever-increasing institutional rift between the Order and the Republic military officers, particularly those of non-clone origin. Tarkin went so far as to place Ahsoka Tano under arrest after a bombing at the Jedi Temple and a later assassination of the perpetrator, raising questions of jurisdictional authority between the Jedi and the Republic military. He even went so far as to be her primary accuser during a Senate trial, asking for the highest punishment, death. Despite her ultimate vindication, the event left the young Jedi Tano shaken to her core, her once sincere beliefs in the institutions of the Jedi and the Republic having been irreparably damaged. She chose not to return to the Jedi Order. As the war began to draw to a close, Tarkin continued to rise in power and influence, masterminding the Sector Governance Decree, which gave title and authority to planetary governors as a primary locus of control of the Republic, weakening the democratically elected senators and representatives. He would become one of the first planetary governors and resurrect the ancient title of Moff for the role, taking control of one of the 20 sector armies that made up the Grand Army of the Republic and other Republic defense forces, along with 11 other Moffs, effectively phasing the Jedi out of the highest echelons of military leadership. He would continue a series of campaigns against the Separatists, leading many offensives and gaining notoriety across the Republic at large, until the conclusion of the war.
A new empire. Having secured himself as a Moff and powerful leader within the newly created Galactic Empire, Tarkin was shocked and annoyed to discover that Palpatine had already begun construction on the Death Star, but he had been left out of the development process, despite his work to bring the project to the attention of Palpatine and Wraith Sinar. Despite his displeasure, along with chiding at the project's name, Death Star, as overly melodramatic, he was ultimately given special oversight of the continued construction and development of the project, though he was not in complete control. The monumental Death Star construction would be plagued by delays, labor shortages, and engineering problems that caused it to fall behind schedule. This, along with the continued tracking of fugitive Jedi, led to the ultimate invasion of Kashyyyk and the enslavement of Wookiees to serve as the labor to accelerate the construction of the battle station. The success of the plan and successful partnership with the Emperor's enforcer Darth Vader served as the beginnings of a powerful partnership. To help with the engineering-related delays, Tarkin would have scientists and engineers forced to work by kidnapping their families. Although Tarkin did not know early on, his eventual investigations into the background of the mysterious Sith warlord led Wilhuff to suspect the true identity of Darth Vader as Anakin Skywalker, though he never definitively concluded this. Tarkin had been one of the masterminds behind the new imperial political project, spurred on by the doctrines of the New Order, and would give the Empire its ideological shape, second only to the Emperor himself. He wrote philosophical works, such as Visions of the New Order, and would argue the merits of the new Empire with would-be detractors, voicing rousing speeches and taking direct military action through brutal tactics. As he grew in his own personal power, he began thinking less of Darth Vader, as more of a short-sighted, petty brute and lacking in the ability to shape the Empire as he saw it. He sought to eventually supplant the Sith Lord, or at least subjugate him to his command. The rivalry came to a head when his son, Admiral Garrosh Tarkin, had gone missing and Vader had been sent to recover the officer. Darth Vader had decided, instead of rescue, to assassinate Wilhuff's son, thinking the loss would drive the Moff to become an unbound machine of destruction against the enemies of the Empire. Unexpectedly, however, it was soon discovered that Garrosh Tarkin had actually defected from the Empire, having become disillusioned with the atrocities his own father had masterminded and committed, and falling in love with an insurgent leader. Vader found the man, along with his rebel lover, in a cathedral on the world of Atoa, and after encountering ghosts of his past, including his own lost love, Padme Amidala. Tortured by his visions, Vader collapsed the temple on himself and the two lovers in an attempted suicide. Vader survived and reported Garrosh's death as the work of the Atoan rebels, hardening Wilhuff's resolve and keeping his son's reputation as loyal Imperial servant intact. Tarkin would go on to commit a genocide of the Atoans as revenge. Legacy of Terror.
Governor Tarkin, I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Charming to the last. You don't know how hard I found it signing the order to terminate your life.
I'm surprised you had the courage to take the responsibility yourself.
Princess Leia, before your execution, I would like you to be my guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational. No star system will dare oppose the Emperor now.
The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Not after we demonstrate the power of this station. In a way, you have determined the choice of the planet that will be destroyed first. Since you are reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, I have chosen to test this station's destructive power on your home planet of Alderaan.
No, Alderaan is peaceful. We have no weapons. You can't.
You will prefer another target, a military target? Then name the system. I grow tired of asking this, so it'll be the last time. Where is the rebel base?
Dantooine. They're on Dantooine.
There. You see, Lord Vader, she can be reasonable. Continue with the operation. You may fire when ready.
What?
You're far too trusting. Dantooine is too remote to make an effective demonstration, but don't worry. We will deal with your rebel friends soon enough.
No.
Commence primary ignition.
Wilhuff Tarkin contributed much to the endearing policies that ravaged the galaxy during the reign of the Empire. He had discovered a pocket of stable space in the Maw, a maze of black holes that would later hide an Imperial weapons research base that would haunt the galaxy long after his death. Ruthlessly, he executed an Imperial scouting team that confirmed the safety of the location and had all records expunged in order to keep the location a secret. On a defiant world protesting tax collections, Tarkin landed his starship on the peaceful protesters, killing dozens and injuring hundreds, an act that led to an outcry by the local population, but a promotion for the Imperial officer. The event was soon dubbed the Gorman Massacre, and is one of the turning points that drove Bail Organa to join Mon Mothma in fomenting rebellion. Beyond the ideological aspects of the New Order, Tarkin masterminded a new intergalactic military strategy, ruling through fear. Riddled with minor upstarts and rebellious hotspots, Tarkin resolved to end the issue once and for all, ending rebellion before it began through fear of threat of force. To this end, Tarkin threw his whole weight behind, not just the Death Star, but the continual research and production of superweapons through which the Empire could control the galaxy by threatening the wholesale destruction of entire worlds. The Tarkin Doctrine took hold as a central philosophy of the Empire, and the threat of maximum force to achieve compliance would be the standard operating protocol from the stormtroopers stationed on the most insignificant backwater to the star destroyers that dominated the stars, to the very Death Star itself. A fearful galaxy was a compliant galaxy. The three principles of the Tarkin Doctrine were as follows. 1. Territorial consolidation. It was a concept designed to root out rebellions and criminals who cross-contaminated other sectors by developing special branches in the sector armies as oversectors who could roam at will across the galaxy, and some Imperial sanctioned inquisition, with officers answering only to Palpatine himself. Hotheads of rebels and terrorist activity would be identified and purged with extreme prejudice, with these oversector forces who would have specialized in quelling insurrection movements. 2. Rapid communication was a deconstruction of the HoloNet and to limit its only to the Imperial Navy and military. Tarkin did not believe in the free HoloNet and its ability for trillions of users to download illicit materials, i.e. rebel activity, holoporn, and death sticks. So HoloNet usage would only be made available to Imperial authority, and only then, just the sector flagships and direct live stream to Palpatine's office. As well as restricting criminal movement, the HoloNet also provided a watchdog against sector moffs, keeping them in check in case they felt the reason to stray from the Emperor's guidance. 3. The Rule of Fear. It was the keystone in this trinity of beliefs that kept the galaxy in subjugation and the Empire in complete power. Rule through the fear of force rather than force itself. Within that, Tarkin suggested the heavy use of military parades, various persecutions and pogroms, and the heavy investment of superweapons with the mantra of, the greater the weapon, the greater the fear, until at last the ultimate and invincible weapon would shock and demoralize any rebel scum forever. The doctrine, officially Imperial Communique number 001044.92V, would come to be known as the Doctrine of Terror, or the Rule of Fear. Palpatine was so impressed with Tarkin's proposal that it was immediately adopted across the Empire, and Moff Tarkin would be granted the new title of Grand Moff, answering only to Palpatine himself, and given total control over the Death Star project.
A family man. Driven by his ancestral lineage, but also ever aspiring to raise his house to new heights for the future, Wilhuff Tarkin sought a wife, not for love or companionship, but as a political calculation to further his ambitions. He married Talassa Motti from the powerful House Motti of the planet Falarion, a dynastic and wealthy house built on slavery and mining industry of Tarkin's home sector. One other such member of the house was Admiral Conan Anatinio Motti, a high-ranking and overconfident officer of the Empire. Tarkin, by all accounts, was cold and dispassionate, spending much of his time away and having an affair with a junior officer named Natassi Dalla. Despite his unfaithfulness, Talassa remained loyal to Tarkin. The Empire, and even sought to avenge his death after the destruction of the Death Star. Talassa's son, Garrosh, had also perished, unbeknownst to his mother, as a rebel sympathizer and traitor to the Empire. Meanwhile, Dalla, Tarkin's paramour, quickly rose through the ranks, but not due to their romantic entanglement, rather due to her strategic mind and cunning. Dalla soon became Tarkin's protege and became a masterful tactician and stateswoman. She would later be assigned to looking over the Maw installation, Tarkin's secret lab, a repository of Imperial superweapons, and she would come to unify many of the fractured Imperial remnants after the collapse of the Empire, even ascending to leadership of the Galactic Alliance in the distant future. Of Tarkin's other relations, his younger brother Gideon, whose own military career closely followed, but was always overshadowed by Wilhuff, became a brigadier. He himself sired a daughter, Rivash Tarkin, Wilhuff's niece, who he later adopted upon the death of his brother during a mutiny. Much like his own son, Rivash had grown disgusted with Tarkin's policies and began to subvert her uncle by feeding information to the rebellion, having access to all manner of Imperial intelligence, thanks to her status and connections as an Imperial socialite. She did not get along well with her uncle, even before defection, and he was a harsh parental figure. World Killer.
As Grand Moff, Tarkin would often visit and give speeches to various Imperial Academy graduation ceremonies. He had personally met with the promising Imperial cadets and pilots Han Solo, Biggs Darklighter, and Soon Torfell, who would all gain some measure of fame or infamy in their own careers. The Empire, the lumbering machine of bureaucracy that it was, had no lack of other ambitious and petty officers that would vie for continually increasing status, wealth, and power. To this end, Tarkin would always be on watch for his own underlings that might seek to usurp his post. Even Tarkin himself was not immune to the promise of ever-increasing power, and, upon the completion of the Death Star and its personal commander, Tarkin had, at the behest of one of his officers, even thought about how he might usurp even the Emperor himself, though the thought was not entertained for long. Such was the corrupting promise of power in the Death Star, though others, like Vader, were not so impressed. Before the weapon would be unveiled to the galaxy upon its completion, it had been tested, at Tarkin's order, on an Imperial prison world, Despair. Only using 1/3 of the super laser's power, all life on the planet was destroyed as the beam ignited the atmosphere, followed by 2 more blasts that shattered the crust of the planet. Tarkin would be forced to unleash the weapon ahead of schedule, as it came to light that the Rebellion had accessed the superweapon's plans, leading to the eventual pursuit and capture of Princess Leia of Alderaan. Tarkin, ever proud and confident in the invulnerability of the weapon, was not so much worried that the weakness might be found in the superweapon, but was insulted at the Rebellion's persistence in the face of such a terrifying tool. Tarkin, after interrogating the young princess, had become impatient and unveiled to the galaxy the weapon's full planet-destroying capacity. Giving the order, he had Alderaan destroyed, a world that had long been a beacon of the core worlds for its peacefulness, serene landscapes, and the center of culture and arts for the galaxy. This action would make Tarkin both feared due to the extent he was willing to go to set an example, but also loathed, not only by Alderaanians that had been off-world at the time of its destruction, but to even other older Imperial political figures with ties and fondness for the world, and who thought Tarkin's actions overly harsh and abhorrent. The Death Star would soon be infiltrated by a band of rogues who managed to rescue the princess, but had inadvertently brought the Empire to the Rebellion's door, as Darth Vader planted a tracking beacon on the getaway craft. Wilhuff, believing that this destruction of the Rebellion was soon at hand, set off for the hidden Rebel base on one of the moons of Yavin. He arrived aboard the Death Star, and was surprised but unfazed by a small group of Rebel fighters that had begun to attack the World Killer. Overconfident in the power of the battle station, he did not even deign to launch TIE fighters to repel the attackers, though Vader did take a flight of his own personal fighters to duel with the Rebel craft. As a Death Star moved into position to fire on the Rebel-held moon, a single starfighter managed to fire a proton torpedo into the exhaust shaft, setting off a chain reaction that obliterated the superweapon just as it was preparing to shoot. Tarkin, along with everyone else on board, was vaporized in an instant.
Aftermath. Despite his untimely death, Tarkin's legacy would endure long after. Initially, the Empire covered up their scandalous defeat, even lying about the infamous Tarkin's death as a shuttle crash and the destruction of Alderaan as an Alderaanian-built superweapon mishap. However, the Rebellion was able to disseminate recordings of the truth, forcing the Empire to backpedal its own propaganda narrative. The Empire swiftly put out bounties on the smuggler and ex-Imperial Han Solo and his rogue Wookiee co-pilot for the murder of the Grand Moff. The embarrassing defeat of Tarkin's Death Star, and by extension his doctrine, kindled outrage in the masses and hope in more systems that sought liberation from the Empire's repression. The power vacuum that the death of such an influential political leader as Tarkin left set the Empire at odds with itself, as former subordinate officers started to maneuver for control in the void the Grand Moff left behind, further weakening an already unstable regime, full of jockeying and infighting. Despite all this, the man would remain enshrined as a hero and a martyr among Imperial loyalists, and would inspire his own followers to continue on his principle of ruling through fear. New superweapons would be named after him, as well as training centers and detention facilities. His wife, who would seek to avenge her dead husband, as would his lover, Admiral Dalla, who would come out of hiding in the Maw installation after the defeat of the Empire and the rise of the New Republic. And now, a message from our sponsors.
Do you need to keep an unruly galaxy under your thumb? Local insurgents messing with the peace and order of your sector? Come on down to Bob's Discount Super Weapons. We've got all kinds of prototypes and retired military hardware for all your malevolent needs. Blow up continents, destroy planets, create black holes, absorb a system sun. We've got everything from Star Destroyers to Darksabers, Death Stars to Sun Crushers. See the infamous wreckage of the Galaxy Gun, or as we like to call it, the Galaxy Fun. Bob's Discount Super Weapons. Satisfaction guaranteed. All sales are final. Bob's is not responsible for planet destruction or any lawsuits that come from use of our discounted super weapons. Consult your overlord if super weapons are right for you. Please cover your exhaust ports.
Thanks for flying with us. Jordan here. Just wanted to let everyone know what's happening here at the Star Lores podcast. Star Lores is now on Discord. If you would like to join the Star Lores Cantina Discord server, you can find a link in the description or on any of our social media accounts. Reach out with a DM or email. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter by searching the Star Lores podcast. Go ahead and give our page a like and send us a message. You can also email at starlorespodcast@gmail.com. Send us your fan art, Star Wars collections, or fan fictions, and you may even get a feature on one of our pages or even the show. Don't be afraid to offer corrections or add to any of the topics that we discuss on the show. We are also on Patreon. So if you want to help us pay the bills, as well as get a few awesome perks like bonus episodes, access to the private Facebook group, or the VIP section of the Discord server, head on over to patreon.com/StarLores and sign up for as little as $1 a month. And finally, make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcatcher app or YouTube, as well as sending us a 5-star review on iTunes. This really helps us reach a wider audience. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Welcome aboard the Millennial Falcon. This is Christian.
This is Jordan.
And today we are talking about the man, the myth, the legend, Grand Moff Tarkin. Wilhuff Tarkin, for those more familiar.
Uncle Wilhuff.
Really pro-imperial. He is very much, I think, for anyone who's like really big fans of the OG trilogy, he is in a lot of ways almost the main villain. Even like, yes, Darth Vader is the most iconic and like the one that everyone knows and remembers, but I think he is one of the underrated main villains of the first movie. Like, he represents the Emperor, and like, he even, when you go back and you watch A New Hope, like, Tarkin even talks down to Vader. Of course, like, obviously it's not that Tarkin necessarily outranks Vader, but there's that level of like respect, like, that Vader actually, you know, when Tarkin asks Vader to release, I think it's Admiral Moti, who he's like force choking. He's like, Vader, release him.
Yeah.
Right. He gives that like order and Vader complies. Right.
Yeah.
So even he's like keeping Vader in check. Again, maybe not officially, but like, that's what the audience perceives of him. So he is very much one of the main villains, and you kind of forget about him, you know, after two other movies and then going into the prequels, and obviously like Vader and the Emperor become the central villains, but he is very much the main antagonist of the first movie.
Yeah.
Really
a great character though.
Yeah.
In the original films.
Yeah.
You know.
He has his fan base. Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like I said, a lot of the OG fans definitely know that Tarkin is the big bad of the first movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, just for like the broader audiences that maybe didn't grow up with the OG, or you kind of, like I said, you forget him after watching so many other Star Wars films. He only appears in the one. And I guess if you include the new ones, if like Rogue One counts.
Yeah.
He's also, so going into like his history and life, he's very much like, if Adolf Hitler is the big bad, like Himmler, who is like the leader of the SS, right? Tarkin is like Himmler. Like, he's the idea man. Like, yes, Hitler had a lot of like horrific ideas, but Himmler's the one that made them happen and actually like came up with the worst ideas. And
I feel like that's what Lucas was going for.
Yeah.
In this, with Tarkin's character. I don't know if he's ever said that.
But yeah, I never read anything that explicitly says it, but that's like the thing that was in the back of my mind the whole time.
Yeah, that
was,
does like, seem like the vibe.
It's his ideas that are really being pushed through the Empire. It's his authoritarianism, his militarism, his ruthlessness, his cruelty. Like, that is Tarkin.
Yeah. There's also, who's that other big bad in Hitler? Goebbels?
Yeah. I mean, there's a whole group of them, but yeah.
I'm sure there is.
There's a lot of masterminds that people like pin everything on Adolf Hitler being the worst.
Right, yeah.
But there were actually people who I would argue are actually worse than Hitler.
Yeah, probably. Right? And probably were like pushing for the Holocaust even harder.
Yeah, like that wasn't necessarily Hitler's idea, right? That came from Himmler, so.
It is sort of interesting. I wonder if anyone has like any source material where like Tarkin is actually pushing Palpatine to go further than even Palpatine wants to.
So from my readings, it didn't seem that way. Yeah. Like, Palpatine is definitely the big bad.
Yeah.
But the reason why Tarkin is raised in the ranks so quickly is because Palpatine likes everything Tarkin has to say.
Yeah.
And like the Tarkin doctrine being named after Tarkin, right? Like, Palpatine's like, oh, I never thought of that. That's a great idea. Yeah. We should totally do that, right?
Yeah. I know, and not to get too in current events here, but like, I've been reading a bit about like what's going on with Russia and Ukraine.
Yeah.
And from all accounts, I know this may offend some people, but Putin is actually probably one of the more moderate people in his government. And if he is eliminated, it's very likely that someone much more extreme will
take his place.
Yeah. And because there's actually a lot of forces, political forces, I guess, within their government they really want to be a lot more aggressive with the war and want to do more of a scorched earth policy. And, and I mean, I don't think anybody wants that, but it's like, you have to be careful when dealing with tyrants. Like, if you eliminate one, there could be one much worse.
Well, we literally saw this happen in Afghanistan, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If Al-Qaeda is bad and the Taliban are bad, well, ISIS was worse.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So who is it that's going to fill that ideological vacuum?
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, in Star Wars, that doesn't happen because Tarkin is killed. And even though his legacy remains, it actually like makes the Empire a lot more brittle because he was such a strong force of cohesion and order that a bunch of like petty officers started vying for control and fighting and kind of like just really weakening the overall like Imperial project, the ideological side of the Imperial project anyways.
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't really see that necessarily happen. You just see more of a balkanization, like a fracturing of the empire. And the same thing happens when Darth Sidious or Palpatine dies.
Yeah.
You know, the empire fractures even further with a bunch of petty tyrants. So doesn't necessarily mirror real life, but not everything has to either.
Yeah, that's true.
Although that would be an interesting story if you have someone worse than Tarkin fill the gap, right? Like, but yeah. Tarkin is that guy that's behind the scenes that's like quite evil.
No, but I think the thought experiment for me would be like, what if Palpatine and Vader were eliminated and Tarkin
became
like the emperor? Like, hypothetically, the empire could become much worse, right? Like,
yeah, if it was all Tarkin, yeah.
Even though he's not like a dark Lord of the Sith,
yeah,
you know, people can still be evil without being.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have the Force need to be involved for you to be a bad guy, yeah. Which I do like. I do really actually really appreciate that.
Yeah,
you know, you could have really bad characters, but like evil,
villainous
characters that aren't necessarily aligned. You know, in Tarkin's case, he very well was probably just a psychopath.
And yeah,
just cold and calculating and like. Yeah, ends justify the means to whatever level, right?
Yeah.
I'll blow up your planet just to send a message. Tarkin was also, like, Lucas did explicitly want a human face to be a bad guy for the first movie.
Okay.
And, you know, again, Darth Vader hiding behind the mask.
And Palpatine wasn't really...
He wasn't a big part of the first
one. He was just in the holograph, right?
Holograms, yeah. And he was like kind of very much like spoken about distantly, not ever directly. So Tarkin was like that human face of evil for the original trilogy. Well, the first movie.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, arguably like he is worse in a lot of ways. Like Vader is sympathetic. You're kind of like understand like, well, you know, he lost everything and he has like an emotional drive, whereas like Tarkin's just being evil,
yeah,
right? For like political and ideological reasons, but he's not driven by any kind of personal slight or like anything like that. Although he does always want to be elevating his family and, you know, he is driven by that. But
yeah,
again, there's better. He could have been like investing in the libraries or, you know, become a philanthropist and have the Tarkin name across the galaxy for those reasons. Right. His family life is very interesting too. A lot of people don't know that he had a wife and had a son even. His wife was an adamant Imperial supporter and even like, even though Tarkin was always a jerk to her, he obviously married her for political reasons. She very much like adored him and even sought revenge after his death. But it was interesting to see the dynamic between him and his son and his niece, who both ended up becoming rebel sympathizers.
Right, yeah.
And I wonder what kind of inspired, like you could very well could have had a whole family of like cutthroat evil, right? Like the whole Tarkin name is tarnished and they're all bad, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of like interesting stories about his own family is kind of disgusted, at least some of them.
Yeah.
The younger generation
is disgusted by
his actions and they...
Yeah. And I mean, that's not like, I don't know if you've known any like hyper religious parents and then their kids
kind of rebel against it.
Against it and become like very anti-religious when they get old. Like I've known,
I think it was the same for like not strictly religious, but any like really strict parent.
Yeah.
And the kid rebels through like being the opposite of what their parents were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I've known a lot of kids that are like that. Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It could just be that dynamic. You could explain it. It seems like a kind of natural human
instinct.
Yeah. Thing. But
yeah. Garrosh's story, Tarkin's son, is interesting too because he falls in love with
like a
priestess.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Okay.
She's a rebel aligned priestess, but like there's almost like that element to it. And kind of like stepping away from Tarkin a little bit, Darth Vader actually tries to kill himself.
Yeah, I didn't.
And he brings down.
That.
Yeah, he brings down the chapel on himself. Yeah, and, yeah. And Garrosh and his lover. And
so, what's also interesting is, I believe in Splinter of the Mind's Eye. Like the last scene, Vader goes into this temple where Luke is.
Yeah,
and but he like uses the Force and brings the temple down, and like almost kills both of them.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of maybe the, like a ripoff of
that scene
from, because Splinter of the Mind's Eye came out like,
yeah, it was like one of the first,
yeah, like a long time
ago. Expanded universe releases. Yeah. Yeah,
I think it came out before Empire Strikes Back.
So. Yeah. I mean, Vader is driven by self-loathing. That is a very key
part of
Vader's character. So he does do a lot of self-harm, yeah, even in his.
But it just seems like in the Legends universe, he did it twice. Yeah.
Maybe he knows he was going to like, oh yeah, I can tank a building falling on me. I'll do it again.
Yeah.
No survivors.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the Tarkin doctrine. So rule through fear. I think strictly as a political analyst, it's obviously it's not advised if you look at like a lot of traditional literature, like the author of The Prince,
Machiavelli.
Yeah, Machiavelli,
yeah,
who actually argues again, it's better to be feared than loved, or yeah.
Yeah, feared than loved.
Feared than loved, yeah.
But he actually also, because I read this like last year,
yeah,
he says it's good to be both, like feared and loved.
And to be tempered in your fear, right?
Like, yeah.
If you go full scorched earth, you might actually have the opposite effect and foment rebellion against you if you're just a cruel tyrant for no particular reason.
Well, it also becomes like self-perpetuating where you have to get even
more brutal because people start
to like scare people into submission. Yeah. Right?
So in the Tarkin doctrine, like Tarkin very much, it seems he would rather rule through the threat of violence rather than actually using violence. I don't know if that's just strictly a calculation. Like, well, if you get into a fight, you might get injured, right? If you send troops to an area, you might lose resources and assets that get tied up that could be better suited elsewhere. So he'd rather blow up one planet to keep all the other planets in line than go around blowing up every planet that just happens to have rebels on them, right?
Yeah.
So that's one of the central tenets of the Tarkin doctrine. And it does seem to backfire, but it's hard to say whether or not, because the Death Star gets blown up so soon after Alderaan, it's hard to say whether or not it was truly effective.
Or did it just inflame the rebellion?
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's hard to say.
Yeah. It is. I don't know if they totally explain it, but what effect it had on like the wider society. You know? So.
Yeah. And it would be cool. I would love to see that, like what other planets thought of what Tarkin was doing. Like, oh yeah, it's totally justified. Like, yeah, we should go bomb that planet.
Yeah.
That did the bad thing, right? Or if they were more disgusted and like, oh, maybe the Empire isn't.
I mean, overwhelming shows of force have ended wars, right?
Yeah, like dropping nukes on cities.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and there's other examples too in history where it, just an overwhelming show of force. You don't do it everywhere all at once. You just do it like tactically in one spot, and then you
enough to show them.
That, yeah, like, enough to show them that, and it ends a war, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean. I could see like tactically trying to end the rebellion that way, right?
Yeah. Which was ultimately the goal.
Yeah.
Early on in the Empire's history, there was a lot of like upstarts and the Rebel Alliance. When we do a more detailed Rebel Alliance episode, we'll talk about it. But like, it really was a Rebel Alliance. It was a bunch of fractured groups that suddenly came together with the mutual goal of combating the Empire.
Yeah.
But early on, it was all these little pockets of resistance and, you know, terrorism and whatever. Like it captured a lot of different groups, right? You could have legitimate terrorists who were, you know,
Saul Guerrero.
Yeah, exactly. who's technically, I guess he kind of sits in that weird realm of like canon and legends.
I think he's canon. I don't think he's legends, but.
Well, he appears in the Clone Wars, so it depends where you demarcate the Clone Wars.
That always makes it murky.
Yeah. But
I guess he, I guess he's like not that big of a character where he could almost fit in.
Yeah, I like his character.
He wouldn't really affect
the overall storyline. Yeah. And then you can just say like he dies off on some planet or whatever. Yeah. Or you could write more stories with him if they were producing Legends content. But
yeah. I like his character too.
For sure. And I like that idea of the rebels actually being like radicals and like extremists.
Yeah. Yeah, it adds like a little more layers to the onion.
I like having sympathetic Imperials alongside people like Tarkin, right? Yeah. There could be genuine like Imperials who just bought into the propaganda or were lied to and like, you know, thought they were joining for noble reasons.
Yeah.
And then also having characters like Tarkin to contrast against. And then the Rebellion having good paragons like Luke and Leia.
Right,
but then also having extremist groups like Saw Gerrera's. And I think they could have gotten worse with it. And, you know, made like the ISIS equivalent.
Like they're willing to kill children and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Whatever. By any means necessary, we have to bring the Empire, you know.
Yeah, like they go and massacre a bunch of families of
stormtroopers. We're going way off topic here. But interestingly enough, it seems that might be where this new Andor show, I don't want to date this episode too much, but Andor hasn't come out yet as of now, but it is on the cusp of coming out.
Yeah.
And that is one of the things that appeals to me is it looks like they're talking about maybe delving into the murkiness of the Rebellion.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see how it all pans out, but that would be an interesting draw for me.
It could be a surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I'm willing to give it a shot.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Tarkin's portrayal. Peter Cushing, I believe it's Sir Peter Cushing. I think he was knighted, but I'm not sure. He was knighted. He played Baron
Alec Guinness knighted as well.
Yeah, Star Wars had some high hitting actors.
Yeah.
He played Baron von Frankenstein.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why I said it like that. Frankenstein.
Yeah, Frankenstein.
And he was friends with Christopher Lee, who was also known for playing Dracula. So, like, they're Peter Cushing is like not from our era of movies, but I'm sure there's lots of fans out there that like grew up with him as well.
Cushing's got to be a lot older than Lee.
Yeah. Maybe not a lot, but older.
A bit older, yeah.
But they were both like in the monster era, like the. You know, when the original Mummy and Dracula. Exactly. Yeah. So he was one of those monster.
Yeah.
Came from those groups, which was obviously a good pick then to play the big villain for your Star Wars film. But he actually auditioned to play Obi-Wan.
Oh, is that
originally?
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, he got typecast.
Yeah. Unfortunately. You look like you're evil.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, though, apparently he was really great on set, and like it was actually hard for some of the actors to treat him like.
Oh, really?
Like Carrie Fisher had trouble like talking back to him as if he's some like evil character because she's like he's so nice in real life.
Okay.
It was hard to picture that.
It is hard to picture him being nice.
Yeah. Right. I had to see some behind the scenes footage to get an idea.
You know, it's hard.
Or like interview footage of him.
I think back then you didn't really see much of celebrities or actors.
Not as much as you do today,
Today you see
across the board because we have cell phones with cameras.
I think just like social media and stuff. Yeah. But like, you see a very manufactured image of them and you don't really see much
behind the
scenes. You'd maybe see them once a year on a talk show or something.
But right.
Otherwise, like now it's like you can go to insert X actor and go to their Instagram and just like learn everything about them, right?
Yeah.
Their personal lives.
Where they were born and their families and but it's a different time. That's for sure. But Tarkin, I feel like there's much more to say, but I don't like, I feel like for someone who's a film, what's the word I'm looking for? Not a snob, but a snob.
A film buff?
Yeah, film buff. Might know a lot more about Peter Cushing and like more to do with kind of how his character evolved and developed. But if any of our listeners who are like really into film history and know more about Peter Cushing, I was just a huge fan of Christopher Lee, so I had like all this stuff on Christopher Lee, but I'm sure the same amount of information exists about Peter Cushing.
Yeah.
And, I guess one final quick note is they kept bringing him back in like prequel material. So like he appears in Rogue One, but he's obviously, it's not him. Peter Cushing died before they filmed that. So they did like a digital reconstruction of him.
Yeah.
A lot of people were not fans of it.
Yeah, I wasn't. It was a little jarring to watch.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I thought it was really well done. Yeah. I quite liked it. Same with, I think the Leia one was more jarring than Peter Cushing's. I liked both. I'm actually glad they did both. Yeah. I would rather them do the digital recreation rather than hiring a different actor to portray the role.
Yeah, yeah.
Interestingly enough, for episode 3, you do see Tarkin approach Vader and Darth Sidious watching the Death Star being constructed in like the very last scenes of episode 3. And they did hire an actor because he would have been a lot younger then, and they did a bunch of prosthetics and makeup on him.
Yeah, 20 years.
And that I wasn't a super fan of.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really like
how it looked. I almost have to go and look it up.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any lines. He's like literally, you see him walk up to them, he like bows, and then like that's it.
Yeah, yeah.
So he has no lines or anything, but it's just a quick glimpse. And then he does appear in the Clone Wars TV show as an animated character, so obviously he's voiced.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. It's maybe better to do the like recreation. I don't know. It seemed too video gamey to me in the film. When I watch it, I found it a little, it's just like, it feels like seeing a video game character beside
a live action,
like a live action character, which is a little, I thought it was, felt hard. It maybe just my brain like was
had
like,
trouble processing it. Had trouble. Uncanny Valley.
Yeah. But I've also seen it done in like other shows where they've done it like really well. Like I know in Iron Man or in Avengers, they did like a young Robert Downey Jr. And it was like
really good.
I thought it was like really, really well done. Yeah. So maybe the tech has just got a little better.
Yeah.
A little better.
I mean, they also do it in the sequels movies with Leia and Luke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then even in the TV show,
I think it was a little better with Leia in terms of how she looked in the Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah,
but her lines were super weird.
Yeah, like, well, because like they were working with talking. The audio.
Yeah, it was, that was weird. But I thought she looked all right. But
yeah, I don't judge super hard on computer graphics for the most part personally. Like if it's passable,
yeah,
you get an A+ for me.
Fair enough.
But yeah.
All right. Well, before we head out, I just want to give a shout out to our new patrons. And I just want to thank all of our Patreons for supporting the show. Thanks for sticking with us. If you want to support the show, $3 a month, you get access to all the bonus content in the groups. Send us a message if you have any questions or criticisms or corrections, and maybe we'll talk about it on the show. It just depends if you're nice enough. But we would like to talk about just lore stuff. So if you have any lore comments or questions you want to bring. But in any case, thank you to our new patrons, Marcus and TJ, who upped his pledge. So thank you guys for helping us keep the show alive and the fire burning. All right. Peace. Oh.